This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, and this hour we're going to be talking a little bit about our stuff we got on a website. I got some new stuff. One of them is a Bobby Dooley t-shirt. You know, I mean, I gotta pitch some of the souvenir junk. Plus, our 2005 CD is going to be coming out soon. It's called Are You For Real? And all the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Thank you very much, Mr. Bonafide, and thank you very much, Justin McElroy. You turds. All right. Now, Peter is with us here. Peter Safinowicz, and Peter is British, and he's probably most notably known as the boyfriend of Sarah Alexander. I'm just joking around, Peter. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Hey, now,
I'm
check
good.
This out. Peter was the voice of Darth Maul in The Phantom Menace, done a lot of flicks in Britain, and you are over here with Sarah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like... How is that anyway?
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
Nice to meet you. So, Sarah, anyway, what we have is a car coming at 8, you know. But you are a very talented cat. And remember, last night we were talking about British guys that can do American accents are cooler than American guys who can do British accents.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk to you so I can get your British accent.
Okay.
And then I want to hear this Alan Alda impression.
Okay.
All right. Peter, where are you from, man? I mean, what part of Britain are you
from? Well, I'm from Liverpool originally.
Serious?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that was my... Because I started out doing impressions, you know. So that was
one of the first impressions that I did, you know, was John Lennon, you know. I don't know whether you're a Beatles fan, Phil, you know.
I was, I was until he died, and then I kind of went away. No, of course I was.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, you can joke about it, Phil, but, you know, the music's still there, you know.
Yes,
just turn on your radio and it's just there.
It's alive.
The music doesn't die.
No, it doesn't. It's alive. It's living and it's pulsating and breathing. And then... You began to listen to, for some reason, was it MASH or was it...
I don't know what it was. I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Alda last night at a book signing.
at a book signing, yeah.
Now, Mr. Alda has written his memoir, which is called Never Have Your Dog Stuffed. And and Ellen was signing copies last night, and I had the opportunity to check out, see if I'm in the right ballpark with this this impersonation.
Did you walk up to him talking that way?
No, I didn't.
You should have.
I think that's breaking a golden rule, Phil.
Well, you know, if anybody deserves it,
he's an absolute hero of mine. You know, I followed his career since he was a young man in the MASH of course
in the MASH
and now in the West Wing. He's in the West Wing, and I said that to him last night. I said, Mr. Alda, you're fantastic in the West Wing. He says, isn't that a great show?
And I said, now the other day you did we were over there at Khalid's house. You did like another American accent. What was that, man?
I don't know.
You were on the phone with someone, or Bob, this is Jim, or I don't know what the hell. What were you watching, a lot of American TV?
Well, you know, there's tons of American stuff on in Britain, you know, and
you know what's funny? I heard somebody say once, because there's a lot of British stuff here, and there's a lot of American TV that's ripping off British stuff.
Yeah.
But I had no idea that American stuff is popular in Britain. Now, what could possibly be funny? In other words, what you're sending us is The Office, which is probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Now, how the hell are we going to throw anything back at you that's even close?
Well, The Simpsons, for a start, you know? I mean, it's the funniest show ever.
It is great.
You know?
It is. And we can't say anything bad about it because Matt tapes every one of these shows.
Yeah.
Well, he's a good guy. You were talking to him the other day. Has he said anything about maybe... Nah, everything's good, you know? Yeah. Matt, you know, how about a little work? Peter,
you're
a good dude, man. So you're making a movie in Britain. What's it called? 66?
It's called 66.
What's that about?
And that's about, it's a young Jewish kid in the East End of London in 1966. He has his bar mitzvah on the same day as the World Cup final, which is like the biggest deal of the last 100 years in Britain, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I
you want to go into Alan Alda?
I feel like I have him in my nasal cavity.
Mr. Alda, can I ask you about when you did that film with Woody Allen? It was called...
what was it? Crimes and Misdemeanors.
Hannah was a crime? No, Hannah and Her Sisters, wasn't it?
No, I think that was Michael Caine. You're confusing me with Michael Caine.
Now, the whole thing in that flick, are you talking about comedy plus time? Can you tell us about what's that again?
Comedy plus time equals... I don't know, magic?
No, tragedy plus time equals comedy? Or comedy plus time equals magic? Yeah.
Comedy, comedy plus time equals magic.
Yes.
Comedy times time equals, I don't know what that is. Let me work it out. Do you have a pencil?
Yeah. In any event, you're here with Sarah, and she's, what flick's she doing now with Michelle Pfeiffer?
She's doing this thing called I Could Never Be Your Woman, and I think probably the title might change, but...
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
Because that's that sounds like it ain't nothing I want to go see, you know.
But yeah, so she's doing this with Michelle Pfeiffer, and this guy, Paul Rudd, is in the film. I don't know if you know him. He's a very funny...
You know that guy, Mark? I don't know who he is.
He's in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. Did you see that film?
No, I haven't seen that. No. Steve Carell movie?
Yeah, that's it. And he's very...
That's the guy that's in The Office, the NBC version of The Office.
Yeah, that's Steve
Which
Carell,
is
yeah.
really brilliant, because... Our show's going to be on NBC.
Yeah.
So Peter Serafinowicz.
Serafinowicz.
Sorry, man. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's cool. I mean, like.
I did write it out for you, you know, but.
Not phonetically, though. Of course, I met Billy Connolly about 2 years ago, and right. I said, Mr. Connolly, I've heard so much about you, and I don't know who you are. He's like, it's all right. So. And he's like supposedly huge, man.
That's really funny, right? Because we watched this film the other day with that's got Billy Connolly. This is such a terrible. I don't know why he even started.
Yeah, freaking Scottish guy. Oh. Yeah, Billy. He lives in a castle though. So
does he?
Yeah, he lives in a castle up there. I know people that go up and play Boggle with him. What am I talking about? Well, dude, thanks for that, Alan Alda. I had to lay that on people. That's really
okay.
Good.
That's my pleasure.
That is great.
Hey, Phil, I'm such a fan of your show. I think it's
Thanks,
brilliant.
Man. Thank you. Will you be hanging out here if we, where we're going to be doing a TV show, and if it actually goes longer than 6 episodes,
yeah.
You guys are moving here.
Yeah,
You're
man.
You're moving here, man.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right, Woo-hoo! Peter. Thanks, brother.
Okay, thank you, man.
And if you'd like to meet Peter, he's staying at the Mondrian, and he'll be in the bar later drinking orange juice or something. Anyway, how do you pronounce your name?
Peter.
Yeah, that's right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, I'm sorry I butchered your name, man. I feel bad about that. But okay. I know we're going to know more and hear more about you in the future. And so, because it's really funny. And the impression you just did of that American guy standing in line waiting for Jane Fonda's autograph or something?
Yeah, it was like...
How did he say that? He was like...
Well, he was like saying, we were waiting in line for this Alan Alda thing. And he was saying, I went to this, got Jane Fonda was signing a book, and but I took my, like... I guess it must have been like a Monster in Law DVD, or maybe it was on Golden Pond or something, and I got her to sign it. It was like, we had to wait till like right at the end. And,
it's perfect.
I don't think she was supposed to, but you know.
Well, she did anyway.
Yeah. She's cool, man.
Jane Fonda, dig her up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to see her touring America again with. What is she doing now? She's back. Okay. I don't want to go there because it's going to get political, and then I'm going to have to go home and be mean to myself. 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, Peter, you're a good guy, man. Now, you don't drink because we were going to have you over to the house, but now we're not. Right. So we're going to have the cast over. Fillmore Middle, I find out I'm the only guy that drinks in the whole cast. Well, what fun is that? Anyway, we're still having a barbecue at the house, so
yeah, okay.
I'm going to have you guys over.
I don't eat either, so, you know.
You don't eat, don't drink, it's nothing, yeah. You don't even drive. This cat's taking a cab everywhere. You don't drive. I said, dude, you got to get a driver's license. You're 38 or something, you know.
I'm 33, Phil. 33, yeah. 33.
So you're younger than Sarah. Now, I was... No, she's... All right, now look, here it is. Speaking of driving, my son, Chris, is learning how to drive, and he, you know, I'm taking him around, and we're driving, and he almost got us killed the other day. I said, you know, because his mother says to me, you know, Christopher needs to learn how to drive, and he does have, yeah, I think he probably needs to learn how to drive since he has a learner's permit. Maybe he ought to get behind the wheel of a car, do you think? So the poor kid hasn't been behind the wheel of a car in a long time, and I decided that I'm going to take it upon myself to get him ready. And I figure, well, I don't know, man. Maybe it's by osmosis kids figure it out, and Maria had said that he'd been behind the wheel of the car. So I took him out the other day to school. Man, you know, he swung into the far left lane with no single. I'm hearing,
wow.
And I said, you know what, man? This weekend, we're going to do some driving, you know. Now, he's about 6'3", and he's driving his brother's little Mitsubishi, so he's already just crammed into this thing. And now I'm noticing the sweat beating up on his lip, and poor kid, can't drive. So I told him, I said, we're going to have to get out and drive. And in the back, and by the way, Catherine, if you're listening, you're 13. You don't know how to drive either. So the backseat driving, that really doesn't make it when you're 13. Huh?
No, you're supposed to go to the back. Will you shut up?
Because, see, already kids take their cue from the adults. So the adults giving him crap.
You're not bunting on the lap.
So I said to her, you know, just be quiet. And, you know, the car's in flames going down the road. We're fine, Chris. The car's on fire. You sure? No, it's fine, son. It's perfectly fine. We'll get into the lot and we'll put it out. And the kid is just nervous and I you know, I told a story many times about my father taught me to drive out in the parking lot at Santa Anita Racetrack, which is over here in Arcadia. It's where I grew up. Big, big racing complex and an enormous parking lot. And this was my dad. He'd go out. He took it real serious, you know. He'd go out and he got those traffic cones, those big orange traffic cones. Just, all right, you know, all business, you know. All right, that traffic cone is a little kid. That one's an old lady. Park between them. Okay? So I backed over the back one and he comes running. You just killed an old woman. Flattened out the freaking traffic cone. All right, you just, that, are you backing it up? Yeah, Dad, I'm trying to get, what? Okay, you just ran over an old woman. She's crushed. Good for you. All right. You just killed an old woman. And that's where every kid learned how to drive. So I decided I would take my first son, you know, out to teach him in a parking lot. And I did a lot of the same crap. You know, I said, okay, that's a... Okay, there's a kid right there. You know. Okay, what are you going to do? There's a kid. And it seemed to work okay with the first two, but with Chris, it ain't working too good. It's all right, man. Don't worry about it. We'll get you out there and drive around. And then as far as my daughter goes, she is selling magazine subscriptions. I don't know if they do this in Britain or not. Do the kids sell magazine subscriptions to raise money for the school system?
I don't know.
Do they put children to work in Britain raising money for the school system over there? Because they do here.
So what? They go door to door? And
well, they have car washes.
Right.
And they have bake sales. Uh-huh. And they sell magazine subscriptions. And this money goes to support, for instance, band programs, music departments. So in other words, what we do is a sort of indentured servitude for our school system. Because apparently the taxpayers in America are too freaking cheap to support, like, education. And so the kids have to go out and whore themselves. I mean, I'm just kidding. No, they have car washes. But literally, some of the car washes, the girls will get out there in their bikinis. And, you know, it makes it worth your while. I'm joking. So she and my kids go to a Catholic school. Now, I understand that the public schools need money. But if there's one school system that don't need money at all, it's the Catholic school system. All I got to do is go down there to the diocese and shake the freaking money tree loose of a few billion. Sell one of them rings. Sell a chalice. Just, you know, take one of those gold big-ass rubies off and sell that thing, Mahoney, and let's get some bread going. You know, because what happens is these kids, so my daughter is going, you know, literally calling up people. And I feel bad for her. She's, I'm sitting out. Yeah, how you doing, honey?
I just sold Mrs. Brown, and that makes three. And I just, do you still want Football Digest?
Yeah, sign me up for Football Digest.
What about Pent
house. No, I'm joking. She doesn't sell that. She says, you want Football Digest? And also, do you want to have the... Just whatever I had last year, honey. Well, that'll put me under the mark, so I need another two subscribers. Okay, get me. What do you got?
Okay, we have Needlework and Darning, Good Housekeeping. You got anything that I want to read? Anything. You know, we got another copy of...
I said, give me the, you know, some crap. Okay, I'll get Sports Illustrated. So then she comes out, she says, oh, and by the way, the first prize is a PlayStation 2. That's great, honey. Isn't that like about a 9-year-old system? I mean, what kind of a cheap deal is that, man? PlayStation 2, who cares? How about a little GameCube, man, or Xbox? Hey, kids, guess what? We're going to be giving you as first prize Atari.
All right.
God. So, she was so proud of that. I said, that's good for you, babe. So now, I talked to my wife today. I said, what are you doing? We're going around collecting money. They're driving all over Hell's Half Creation, man, to houses to pick up the money that Catherine has, you know, sold these magazine subscriptions. She takes it back to the school. Now, here's the thing that's a drag. And this is the truth. These kids go home, and they say to their parents, I need to raise this much money to win. And the father writes a big, fat, freaking check, and he subscribes to all the magazines himself, right? So the kid doesn't go out and actually learn how to do something, just anything. Their dad writes the check. So this is crap that goes on over here. Now, in Britain, for instance, you just, what do? You just wear high knee socks and
I don't
they
know.
Pay for everything, don't they?
I don't know. I mean,
they just rape the laborers and what's left. You don't know how you got educated, do you, Peter? It's all a blur. Here's my James Mason.
That's good. That's good.
Now, Mr. Kaplan, I don't think you brought me to these colorful surroundings to carry your bags, did you? I don't know. That's from North by Northwest. There's now Sean Connery. Just like a whoop to bring a knife to a gunfight.
That's okay.
That's okay. I don't do impressions, man.
You do. That was a good James Mason.
Well, I've got like a character I did. He's called. He's a roadie. I was a roadie for Ozzy. I was a roadie for Ozzy for a long time. Ozzy's not about, you know, Ozzy's not about all the rubbish. He's not on about all that rubbish. He's real rock and roll, you know. He's not raw. He's not all that rubbish, you know.
What do you mean rubbish?
Well, I mean he's not about being a phony, you know. He's not a phony. See, he's not a phony.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. He's not a phony.
That's right. He's not a phony.
Okay. So Ozzy's the real thing.
Yeah, he's the real thing. I was also with him. I was also for a while. I worked with another band. I forget the name. It was Viper. Viper. I love Viper. This is a real rock and roll, you know. It's a real,
yeah, it's very satanic stuff.
It's not really satanic. Well, they did a song I love called Buried Alive. It's wonderful. Buried Alive is wonderful.
All right, thank you very much, you creep.
Thank you.
Keith Richards, ladies and gentlemen. That's great.
That's very good.
Keith Richards, everybody got a fascination for him over here.
Really?
Well, because the guy's like a walking skeleton, isn't he? So what are the Stones in Britain? Are they the joke they are here? I'm joking. I like them because they don't care how old they are. They don't care. They don't give a crap.
Yeah.
They know people are making fun of them, and they don't care.
Yeah.
And they sure don't care in Britain because, yeah, it's the bread, and I don't give a sh...
You're going to say it with the S word.
No, I was not, man. No, they don't. They don't give a crap. They're old. They are getting older. And I think that they're going to find their decomposed corpses on the stage of the Hollywood Bowl one night. And it'll just be like, what happened? They just decomposed, you know, and the crowd will just, all right. That's the way to go out, man. They didn't just die. They rotted in the middle of, you know, Start Me Up. All right. 1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget our website is www.philhenryshow.com. And also our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Send us an email if you'd like to hear something on the show, like a flashback. Go to our website and pick up our best of the Phil Henry Show 2005 CD, Are You For Real? Because the bread that we raise goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Remember that these kids we help are from all over the country. I mean, they're coming out here to be movie stars, but between now and the time they become a movie star, they're like eating out of garbage cans, and maybe we can do something better for them, all right? That's at our website, www.philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, these new video games, you know, the kids call them RPGs, role-playing games. And my guys, they a lot of times have, I don't know, sometimes they'll have festivals of the...
Oh, stop it.
What was that, man? Okay. And so this thing is called The Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion, The Elder Scrolls. What am I, what, all of a sudden, one of these days, you're going to have me believing in dwarfs and elves. You know, look, Three Kings, the whole Fellowship of the Rings, it was fantastic. I've never seen a better series of movies. I will now say, and I'm sorry that I have to say this, beats the crap out of Godfather 1 and 2. So, it does, I think, don't you think? You don't? See, maybe it's because I've watched Godfather 1 and 2 so many times that I know every line, I know every phrase, I know every... Do you hate those movies, Peter? Do they suck? Godfather flicks, man.
No, that's... The Godfather is my favorite.
They're the great, great movies. But yeah. I believe now I enjoy the Fellowship of the Ring movies more. Now, that could make me gay. It could make me a lot of things. But I don't know. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, you're queer.
All right. No, but I really dig them. And the reason why I dig them is because I've always, I suppose, wanted to live in a land like that. I don't think there's too many of us that don't want to live in a land like that.
Well, I live in England, and that's nearly a land like that.
It's almost like that. Yeah. England is a land that's almost like that sort of fairy tale world that J.R.R. Tolkien, well, wait a minute, he's from England, isn't he? Or wasn't he? Yes.
He is.
So he must have been writing about his neighborhood or something.
Yeah, I suppose.
Probably something he saw in his...
I think he embellished it a little
bit. His backyard, yeah.
Yeah. But that's the reason that I like the Godfather films, because, you know...
That's like my backyard.
That's a world that I want to live in. You know?
Yeah, well, there you... All you have to do is move to New York. But in any event...
Hey, Peter, do you live in a castle or some deal like that?
What a jackass.
You don't live in a castle, do you? What are you laughing about?
Yeah, I don't...
He don't live in a castle, man. He lives in a freaking house, like anybody else.
Well, why is it such a retarded question?
Just because the cat comes from over there don't mean he live in a castle. Do you? No.
No, I, you know...
Hey, wait a minute. I bet you got a thatched roof and stuff. Taking water up from the river.
Yeah, we could have
And then the sheriff comes and collects the taxes.
And we've got a, you know, we have a horse and...
You have a horse.
I mean, we don't see that...
Now, you know, occasionally, where you live, occasionally there must be some... representative of the king that rides through and rapes the women once a week, doesn't he? And then a guy in green tights chases him off? What kind of jackball thing? In other words, you're like, if I'm in Britain, say, Phil, I say, where you live now, is a man walk bow-legged down the middle of the street and, yes, pulls out a gun and blows the other guy away with the gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, so getting back to where we are from, in your country... Peter, of course, everybody we have lawn gnomes here. Over in your country, everyone looks like a lawn gnome.
But they're guys.
But they're all guys.
They're actual guys, yeah. That's the big cultural difference, I think, between our two countries.
Right. Well, whereas you
we
have...
We call them gardeners.
Over here, we have them made out of ceramic just sitting out there. The gardeners in Britain are lawn gnomes, little pointed hats, and just...
Do you want the trees trimmed this week or what? You know,
dude's got a big handlebar mustache.
I mean, you know, they still have the pointy hats, but like they're like modern ones. Like they have little Nike signs on them.
On the pointed hats?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
You know, sometimes they wear them backwards, but you can't really tell, you know.
You don't know whether those pointed gnome hats are on backwards or forwards.
No,
yeah.
No.
And, well, so the differences are not that striking, really. There's so much that is similar. Now, what's your favorite part of the States?
Well,
other than
New
who
York.
You're sharing your hotel room with right now, yeah. New York's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I love New York. Yeah.
Do you go down to? Do you ever get down there to some of those? Get up to the Bronx, because that's where the real Little Italy is.
Yeah, that's micro Italy. There's little Italy, and then there's micro.
That's little itsy bitsy Italy. It's like one half a block of Italy. And it's, but God, they've got the real authentic checkered tablecloth. Because nobody will go up there because they assume, as Bud does, that everyone's black.
Well, you gotta, you know.
Yeah. But the Bronx is much more than black. It's black and it's poor. And no, it's Italian too.
Just Bill Clinton has his offices there now in the Bronx. Is that
isn't right? that wasn't that marvelous of him to build an office there in the middle of like rubble? Okay, there's a vacant lot here and a vacant lot, and there's Bill's office, another vacant lot. You know, speaking of Liverpool, now they had a riot in Liverpool back in the early 80s.
Yeah.
You must have been a little boy.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was a scary little time.
It was must have been. Was it? Yeah. Did it affect your neighborhood?
Not the neighborhood that I lived in.
Because I'm driving through Liverpool once. And the guy says, I said, how come there's nothing on this street? He says, there was a riot here in 81 or 80.
Right.
And they burned the block. And I said, but what's that? And he said, that's the pub. They didn't burn that.
Wow.
They literally left the pub standing and they burned everything else around it.
Is this a true story?
That's absolutely the truth.
Wow.
That's absolutely the truth. They would not burn the pub. They burned everything else around it. And that's that booze culture you were talking about.
Britain,
you know,
there is a booze culture,
and that's why you got out of there. You came to Hollywood. There's no booze culture here.
So how do you find it, like being, you know, because people don't drink. I mean, I tell you what, in Britain, people just drink and drink.
In the United States, we've stopped having fun. It's no longer allowed. Seriously, you think I'm kidding? I'm not. You cannot have fun here anymore. You're not allowed to smoke, drink, have sex, talk dirty. Talk in a creative way, talk in a sarcastic way, talk in ways that might be pointed but ultimately funny, and, hey, here's a real concept, truthful. So you're not allowed to do that. You're also not allowed to stare too long at people. You're not allowed to stare too long at a woman's breasts, even though she's had, like, $50,000 worth of surgery to make them so large. They're about the size of those freaking San Onofre power plants down there.
Staring at me?
But yeah, you're not allowed to look at them. So in other words, the woman, you know, she can't do that. You cannot, religion is out of the question, can't make fun of religion. You also can't say that you are religious. So in other words, you can be religious, but you can't talk about it.
Right.
You are only allowed to say that in America there is, you know, religion is dead even though there's a church in every corner. So there's nothing left in this country that you can talk about. Nothing.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
I just love it. We'll be right back. Anyway, 1-800, so how do I like it? Why do I live here?
Yeah.
Because Ireland now is too expensive. Otherwise, I would have gotten over there when I could have. Everybody left here and went to Ireland after 9/11. The freaking sacks of crap. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And don't forget that the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD called for the year 2005, called Are You For Real, is going to be available soon on our website. And all the proceeds go to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. We have a one-man show that we're planning that's going to be very, very soon. That's right. Like an actually entertaining, funny one-man show, not just... In other words, like a theatrical thing with a beginning, a middle, and the end, not just me getting out there and doing stand-up, because I don't do stand-up. What I do is I do different characters, and so we'll try and do that and hope that it works. And then the TV show, and Peter and Sarah over here from Great Britain. Sarah is one of our stars. She's shooting a movie right now with Michelle Pfeiffer. Peter is stalking Alan Alda, and it's gotten serious. The L.A. sheriff is now, you know, sandbagging the door. And I'm going to give up cigarettes on the 24th of October. Because I promised my daughter, and, you know, she looked at me with the little moo cow blue eyes and went, blink, blink, really? You know, and I went, yes, I'm going to give them up. And I figure if you lie to a kid, what kind of scum are you? I'll tell you, my kind. But no, I think that my daughter, you know, she wants me to give them up, and kids today are really cool with the whole thing. Kids today are totally, they have been completely.
It's the 27th, you douchebag.
Why, you dirty.
Not the face, Phil. I got a photo shoot tomorrow for Knutson's Milk. Ow!
Listen, dummy, 24th is her birthday. Today's the 27th.
No kidding. Good one, Sherlock.
You know what? Forget it, man. In any event, that's what I'm going to be giving them up. So between now and the 24th, Marlboro, you got my money. Every nickel. All right. Don't forget, as we mentioned to you, an email to us at phs@philhenryshow.com. We'll get a request played for you if we can find it. And hopefully, you know, somebody around here knows how to read. We plan another webcast for you guys very, very soon. If you have watched any of our webcasts and you'd like to know if they're archived, they are, man. You can just go to our web address and they're archived. $695 for a backstage pass, but $695 buys you the largest repository of radio comedy anywhere. It's all original material. And also, we, of course, have full shows, our 30-day archive. So check it out, baby, at our thing there. You know, what's it called, bud?
I don't know.
It's something, man. It's on the internet.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.